everyone. Welcome to the podcast. We are here, just three guys talking about whatever is irrelevant in today's world, more as current as we can possibly get. I'm the host, Jesse, of course, and joined here by other two fine gentlemen that I need a refreshers on your guys' names.
Right. Today. Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, it's just. Hi.
That one really sounded like you just didn't want to do it.
Yes, this is Cameron, and today we're going to be talking about presidential candidates that are going to come up in the 2020 election.
Yeah.
There are very many far in between, but we have come up each with one that we think you guys should know and learn more about.
Yeah, and who is this this other guy to my left in the chair?
This is political scientist Aaron Chavez.
And historian. Say it again, but just a little closer to the microphone.
Political scientist Aaron Chavez.
Okay, thank you.
Historian.
Yeah, and my boy Cameron pretty much summed everything up, but we think this is really important that three younger gentlemen like ourselves talk about this kind of thing, because we're very much, or our age group in general is very much the kinds to retweet stuff on Twitter, repost shit on the gram, on Facebook, and then not go out and vote. And whether it's because they only hear what they hear or see on like just different
Facebook, social right. media, your average.
So we are here to try to talk, give you guys who we think are the three best, so that you can go out in early 2020 and make an informed vote. So I think Aaron has his guy. He's been championing the same guy for a minute, but wanted to tell us a little bit about your person.
Right. And before you go, I just want to say we're going to try to be as factual as we can, as personal bias. We're going to try to, like I said, just tell the truth and not try to sell you guys on anything particularly, just... like I said, factual as possible.
Yeah.
Cut around that.
Start us off.
Aaron, who have you chosen as your U.S. presidential candidate?
All right. So this guy, I've been following this guy for a while now.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for a minute. You know, he came on the board to me because in 2008, of course, when they had the crash 2008, and they were doing the bailouts and all that stuff, you know, there was all this talk about, you know, the banks getting all this money from, you know, the Federal Reserve and tax dollars, stuff like that. But, you know, nobody knew where it was going.
Who is this hero you're speaking of?
Well, Senator, who's been the longest independent in U.S. history, the great Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders. Yeah.
Worked on this policy, Bernie Sanders worked with Republican Ron Paul to uncover, to audit the National Treasury Agency, and they found $16 trillion in near zero interest loans to big banks.
Hey,
sounds like you're reading this off the
website. Hey, Aaron,
just tell us how you feel, buddy.
Are you reading this from a phone right now?
Well, this is the same phone. So he undercovered that the U.S. government gave $16 trillion in no interest loans to big banks.
Wow.
And that's taxpayer money. And these big banks are giving out, you know, $1 million in billions of dollars in bonuses to these guys who got away with robbery, you know.
Was this are you talking about the 2008
housing market crash?
Yes.
And when, you know, Fannie Mae and all them ones are going to go under. All
right. I'm going to hold you off right there. Why are you voting for him in 2019?
2019?
2020. Yeah, fuck. Yeah, 2020. What's he bringing to the table in 2020?
Consistency. He's bringing the only thing that he's carried his whole career since the 60s, when he chained himself up to civil rights activists. He marched in Martin Luther King's March on Washington. He's been, you know, he got 100% rating with Hispanic Americans Legion here in the United States, 100% NAACP voting record. He's just been championing the same things, and that's working class Americans, middle-class Americans, Americans who are poor, and, you know, the downtrodden, basically. He's been their champion.
Sounds like the champion of the people.
Yep. And it's been consistent, and you can look at his voting record, and time again, he's been proven right.
Okay, so what's he going to do to help you, specifically?
Well, first of all, Medicare for All plan, mm-hmm. which will ensure that every American has, you know, Medicare, dental, vision, all that stuff's covered. That'll, you know, help us out and stuff.
And is that going to be a government thing, or like by employer, or?
Oh, it's definitely going to be government. You know, it's going to get rid of the big insurance companies, which has been ripping off the American people. He's going to go against Big Pharma, which has been ripping off the American people.
So, you know, move against Big Pharma in what way?
I mean, he's put several bills across the board, you know, trying to regulate how Big Pharma can, you know, negotiate prices. Because, I mean, he was against a bill that allowed Big Pharma and to be able to say, like, oh, the government can't negotiate prices on drugs. Basically giving the free range to, you know, bill the American government however they want per pill or whatever for their drugs. And guess what? The American government is the one that's giving Big Pharma tax dollars in research. And so they're going back and charging, taking tax money from the government, and they're going back and charging the government twice as much as what, you know, and the government's the one paying them in.
Okay.
So, you know, he's a big fighter on that. So, several things.
So, you've mentioned that, so I can derive that you believe he's going to get this stuff done since he's been.
Yeah, and I know that if he doesn't get it through Congress, that he'll use
executive
order. Yeah, executive order.
So, this is a question that I've had for a Bernie, but it's specifically to like free healthcare, and also it goes towards free education too. Many times, especially here in California, we trust the government with our tax dollars to put in into the correct areas to make sure it's actually being used towards what we're toward what will benefit us. How do you know that these dollars will go exactly where?
Well, just because of Bernie's record, I can trust that, you know, he's going to work to do the right thing. I mean, just like with any candidate that you put in office, you're trusting his word. Well, his voting record has shown that he's been consistent. He's not going to, you know, make a left turn or a right turn or mm-hmm. whatever turn. He's going to stay on the same path that he's been with the last 50 years.
Okay.
I see what you're saying with the real consistency thing. I believe that is big, and it just goes to show that he's done what he said in the past, and I... The way you make it sound is he'll continue to do that moving forward as president. And I think that he's a great candidate for that. And I could see him possibly winning the U.S. election.
I mean, it's been shown several times, you know, he won 2016 going against Donald Trump. And today, even after, you know, his heart attack, polls still show him leading Donald Trump in areas in states like Ohio that he won.
Right. Bernie Sanders, he's such an old man. You don't think he's too old?
I'd rather have Bernie Sanders for 2 years, a year, 6 months, than
continue this road we have with Donald
Trump. Continue this road, because I know, one, he's going to pick vice president to be, you know, on par with his message mm-hmm. and his vision. So he's going to pick a good vice president. And I know that, you know, it's not just going to be him, because it's like his motto is not me, us. So he's going to put a comprehensive staff that's going to be able to fight on these issues, that's knowledgeable, people. I mean, this guy's a political scientist from Harvard. I think he's, you know, got the brain to get together a good staff in general. And, you know, like I said, like, I'd rather have him for 2 years. Any of the candidates that are going right now, well, I mean, there's a few, you know, that we could stand, but
right.
That's the main.
Bernie just, he exuberates that.
He was the first. He's the main. He's the first progressive. He's the leading. I mean, he's the longest independent that's been in Congress.
Right. I just think, like I said before, I've gone deep into research on other candidates and whatnot of coming up election. I just feel like Bernie really exuberates championing of the people and forward thinking, even though he is at such an old age. But I feel like he is ready to move the needle in the right direction, just move us forward.
Yeah. I mean, he's already had his, look at his 2016 campaign and all the candidates to come out this year because of, you know, his success. They're all writing off the back his success in 2016, his message, his progressive message.
Right, yeah. And I think, with that being said, I think all of us have chosen someone that we all think is progressive.
Yeah.
As far as I can think of each of our candidates.
Most of the Democratic potential nominees have, like, the free healthcare for all are relatively progressive.
Just,
so what makes Bernie different? Like, what other policies when it comes to like full foreign policy, what else does he have with in terms of the environment, which I think is one of the most
upfront
and dangerous to the next generation.
Well, I think he's the proponent of the Green New Deal. You know, he's not scared to say that, you know, he's with a lot of these plans and these major efforts to combat climate change, because, you know, he listens to the scientists, he listens to the smart people around him. I mean, that's the best thing you can do as a smart person, is listen to other smart people around you, you know, because this is a team effort, you know, the going in there, you know, trying to think that, oh, you're the brain's the best brain and you're going to outsmart everybody, then, you know, that's, you set yourself up to failure.
Especially when you're dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, Bernie Sanders is not scared to fight on a subject, and he's not going to pander and stuff like that, and he's never pandered, and that's why, you know, he's got endorsements from, like, people like Killer Mike and, you know, Cardi B and stuff like that, because
Cardi B,
yeah, because, you know, he's genuine. He doesn't try to, like, be popular or something. People care about policy. Bernie's been championing policy ever since, you know, 2016. Everybody's just been hopping on, you know, his boat since then, you know, the game for popularity, stuff like that.
Mm. So if you were to close this out, what would you tell people that are going to be voting soon? Why? Just like, I know you said so much, but just a short sum it up. Why vote for Bernie Sanders?
I think that he's going to bring back, one, a dignity to the office, you know, the presidency, that
a little bit of class.
Yeah, that, you know, Donald Trump has ruined, not only because, you know, that he's just a better person, but the kind of respect that he has even overseas, you know.
Right, other foreign leaders.
Other foreign leaders, because Bernie Sanders has fought on so many subjects, has fought for countries, you know, even though he's Jewish, you know, he's also spoken out against Israel and what, you know, some atrocities they have done against the, what are they called? The
Palestinians?
Palestinians, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, even being, like, part of the Jewish member and stuff like that, like, he still, you know, speaks out with, if he sees something wrong, he speaks out about it. And, you know, that gains, you know, him a lot of respect, you know, with foreign leaders and stuff. And, you know, Putin doesn't have any power over Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders don't got a Yahoo email.
Right, no, yeah. I remember last talk, you touched on that so deep. And I fully understand what you're talking about right then and there. So.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to go back and listen to what Aaron's talking about?
In the last podcast, Aaron had a high idea, as we've tried to coin the term. It is a very deep conspiracy, and you can go back and listen to that if you're very deep. Maybe a little too deep.
No, it's all very plausible.
Yeah, it's all very understandable. Like, yeah, I could see it. I can see it ringing true. I'm not joking. I understand.
It's like one of those connected dot pictures. Like, it's pretty clear. It's like one that, like, when you get in third grade, easy ones, you know.
Right. So to sum it up, Bernie Sanders, the champion of the people. You know, if in America, if you want things to change, and if you want
change, you know, it's not just, you know, change, you know, in some, like, obscene or absurd direction. It's calculated, you know. I mean, this is stuff that he's been fighting for, stuff that he's seen work, you know, across, like, in Europe. He's seen work in Canada. He's seen work other places. He's come up with his own idea on how it would work in the United States, you know, and why it work. I mean, we're the richest country that's ever been in world history. So.
Right.
Okay. All right. Cameron, do you want to go next, or you want me to go next?
I think you go ahead, because Aaron has a very different sales pitch than I do.
Okay.
On his candidate. No, which is great. It's very informed. But mine is, like, I'm, like, so singular on why I went Tulsi Gabbard. So.
All right. So
I feel like, yeah.
Okay.
You should go ahead and go.
Well, let me tell you about this Asian from, fuck, I forgot where he was from. God damn it. Anyways, let me talk about this 44-year-old Asian man.
He's like an East Coast guy, isn't he?
I'm pretty sure he's an East Coast guy. He's a family man, beautiful family.
He's only 44?
Yeah, he is 44 years old. He would be the first Asian American president. Now, me, myself, I'm not Asian. And frankly, I don't think that race should ever play any kind of part Asian into it. Okay, cool. Good job. But Andrian, if you've heard anything about his campaign, you'll recognize the term freedom dividend. It's where he wants to give every U.S. citizen, and believe me, I'm not reading this from a book. I've just watched so many videos. I know his whole spiel.
Jesse is obsessed.
I'm obsessed with this man. Like, honestly, if he doesn't win, I'll take, like, Bernie as, like, a second. But if Yang or Bernie don't win, like, we're fucking dead. Anyways.
My candidate.
But, yeah. $1,000, and also that could be changed, but it would have to be changed through a constitutional amendment. It could go up based with the cost of a living in the country. But Yang, I believe that every time they've had a debate, at least he's the smartest person up on that stage, not just because of what they say, because obviously debates are a bunch of nonsense, but he's just the most well-spoken. He forms his ideas very clean and precisely. He's a real people person. If you ever watch any of his podcast interviews, any of his rally speeches, he's very, like, in there, in the trenches with other people. I know Aaron's drawn a large comparison to his current campaign with Bernie's campaign back in 2016. It is very similar, and right now he's kind of the underdog. But yeah, like his strongest foot is definitely the U.S. economy itself. For capitalism to actually work, we need to put money back in the hands of people instead of trying to bail out big banks, trying to
corporations.
Exactly. And we've heard parties refer to corporations as people, and to us that's just out here actually working for these corporations, trying to make a living, constantly getting the short end of the deal.
He definitely sounds like a small business guy instead of big business. Well, he's definitely into home, it's definitely into family-owned business.
Yeah,
if I could.
Like, he's very pro smaller business because that kind of is like the backbone. It's kind of what creates a middle class, really. And that's another thing that he's not too extreme. He's not for the rich, but he's also not for the extremely poor either. Like, he's not taking out of the middle class wallet to feed back to the quote unquote lower class. 40% of Americans are currently under the poverty line, and don't get me wrong, they need help. There's definitely a system of oppression on those people, and they do need help to fight their way out of it. But don't take away from people who have rightfully earned that check. Don't take away from that person's check to give to other people.
Right, you're saying as far as taxes, like taxing the
right
American the everyday worker,
right,
taxing, taking their money and putting it back into, know, the military complex.
Well, not just the military complex. Just don't take my money and give it to someone else.
Right.
Right. Like, I work hard for my money. I go to a job that I hate every day, and so do they. Some people sure have a job that they love, but they most likely worked hard somewhere else to get to that position. Shouldn't have to take away from those people. And that's what the freedom dividend does. It's not new printed cash from the government, so it won't have any effect on inflation. So the easiest way to fix the poverty problem in the country is just to give people money.
It sounds easy.
It definitely sounds so easy, but I'm sure it's very complex. And I think it'd probably be a very hard thing to change, as beneficial as it sounds to everybody. I just feel like that it's so great, but there's so much business, big business on the other side with their lobbyists that it'd be very difficult for that to happen. But I'm sorry, I know you're about to say something, Aaron. But with that being said, I think each one of our candidates has a form of UEI. I know Tulsi Gabbard does. I don't know about
UBI. Yeah.
UBI, I'm sorry.
UEI is a trade school.
Right.
But I mean, Yang hasn't taken any money from any big corporations. All of his donations are from people like me. I personally have given him $25 myself. Nice. And that's money that I could use this week right before payday, let me tell you.
Bernie has the most donations right now. He's leading.
I hate to take away from what we're talking about now, but do you think that U.S. presidential candidates should not be allowed to receive donations from big business and CEOs?
Yes, and Bernie Sanders is fighting on this issue. You know,
I don't think
every time he supports.
I just think that, you know, you don't want your presidential candidate being bought out, more or less, or influenced with money by these big corporations. Well,
I think, I don't think you should ban any person from taking money from wherever they can get it, especially if they have a decent message. But, of course, sure.
Right, yeah, but there's always the other side of that coin.
Yeah, like the influence. Like,
sure. One, right. Yeah, influence. But one, it should be completely transparent. This should be, I don't know which way, but it should be completely transparent. And actually, Yang has in part a solution to this called...
But I know you're saying that, but that's a weird way of just being transparent about being bought out by a company.
Yeah, like it's transparent. Like you can look up any candidate and see what money they're taking from who. It'll just say like the pact or whatever.
Well, I mean, campaigns are an extremely expensive process. Yeah. Like we see, I think Sanders, as far as dollars, is what, like number two or three?
He's number one, baby.
Right, but why?
In terms of dollars, not donors.
No, he raised the most. He's number one in dollars and number one in donors.
Okay. But why do we have that price of running a campaign so high?
Joe Biden had to take
PAC
money because he said he wasn't going to take it.
And then he took it?
He ended up having to take it because he wasn't getting no donations.
Yeah.
Because people don't want to see him. And that's where the proof of the pudding is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If people want to see you, they'll donate to your campaign.
Listen,
and you'll have a problem running your campaign.
I think what you guys are saying is that I'm not fighting against that. I'm just saying they don't ban it because then like that's going. I can't really explain myself here, but what's a better approach in my opinion is to give people more power. Like you can't expect as big donations from a normal person versus a big corporation. But like I was going to get into, Yang has this proposal called a democracy dollars, where every potential voter gets 500 democracy dollars to donate to as many and whichever campaign that they want to. And if you do that, when you match it against the number of potential voters, then you end up out,
and that money would come out of
weighing the corporate dollar. I think it was like
twenty to one.
It's not real money. It's like a point system. Like we all have like so many points, and our points are worth more than real money and stuff like that.
Right, but
and I like Andrew Yang and like you know his proposals and stuff. But the thing is the implementation. Like if I want him to say that he's going to do either you know executive order or stuff like that, because you know you can try to get through Congress and stuff. We're hoping that both Congress and the Senate will flip, you know, to Democrats, stuff like that. But
whatever's right, not necessarily Democrats.
Well, if Andrew Yang wants to get half of his policies through any of those houses,
I mean, that's like most of it's kind of bipartisan. It was almost passed by like Richard Nixon, and it was almost passed, or it was also championed by Dr. Martin Luther King, by Thomas Paine way back at the founding of the country. It's not a partisan idea. And he's only running as blue because to have a credible chance to win, you either have to be red or blue.
Yeah, well, obviously. I mean, independents don't have a good history except Du Bois Ross Perot. You know,
right. So for those who don't understand, Andrew Yang is running as independent. He's not running. No, well, he's running as a Democrat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, but before he was running as an independent, or
he was never a politician
affiliated with either.
He's just a businessman, yeah.
He was just a businessman.
And that's the thing, like But that's the thing, like, Republicans have, like, a certain, like, Democrat and stuff like that. Like, they're going to, you know, as soon as, like Andrew Yang even said, as soon as he goes up against Donald Trump, he's going to be poster boyed as, you know, the communist or whatever like that.
No, I mean, universal basic literally anybody. I mean, of course, Bernie Sanders is going to get that. Literally, but like anyone that, but from the blue will.
But that except for maybe Biden. For some reason, that attack, you know, like, doesn't really work on Bernie Sanders and stuff. Like, he's still popular in those states and stuff. But the UBI, and like, if Republicans are against it, or if it's against Republican ideals, they're going to be strong on that. You know, they're not going to bend the stuff, because, like, you know, even Social Security and stuff, they try to take away Social Security, and they're.
Yeah, but UBI, like I said, isn't necessarily against the red ideals.
It's against the tax.
Alaska.
Dollar, you know? They're going to have to take money from. It's just going to cost so much money towards the deficit or whatever.
But,
and Republicans are for protecting the deficit.
But I mean, back in like Alaska, which is a deep red state, they've been having their oil dividend for the last 40 years, I think it was. And that's actually a bigger amount of money, not in total, but every person over the age of 18 gets $1,200 to $2,000 instead of just a flat $1,000.
Yeah, but they only get that once a year and don't get $12,000 a year.
Oh, okay.
And it's a much smaller, you know, scale.
Number of people.
Yeah, number of people. The only thing is just the red states and stuff will fight it. And the Democrats, too, that are, you know, in the middle are going to fight it and stuff because they're corporatist, or, you know, because their states, you know, are balancing on the two. You know, Hillary Clinton and stuff like that, you know, fought against, you know, workers' issues. And even Joe Biden's fighting against, you know, giving people bailouts to being able to, like, claim, you know, to be able to claim bankruptcy, just in the case of, like, saving money for the, you know, the federal government, or saving money for against the deficit.
Right. And with all that being said, I don't want to continue this conversation and then pull away from Jesse's candidate, because we're going, like, deep into a debate, which is what we're here to do. But I just want to get across why we want to vote for these candidates, and then at the end we can talk about policies.
Okay.
And we can talk about exactly why we think and why you think.
Okay.
Why you think against it.
Right? Okay.
So if you were to sum up Andrew Yang, obviously it sounds like the UBI is a big proponent that you like of him.
And that's mainly, or not mainly, that's all because it gives power back to people. The U.S. citizens' greatest power is, one, the power to vote. Two is the power to spend. And there's not enough money to go around with people right now to spend. Being able to make decisions with their own dollar. And when you tax big, of course, it will come to taxing the biggest one of the biggest companies in the world, like Amazon and such. So give that money back into the hands of the people. Some of them might just go back and spend it right back at freaking Amazon. Some of them might go to that little ma and pop shop right around the corner. The point is to give power back to the people, make the government value people again, instead of just the average person just being someone that works for the government.
And those are all great things. I think that is definitely rebuilding, not rebuilding, but reinvigorating the people in America and bringing the country up. As opposed to anything else. Is there anything else that attracts you to Andrew Yang other than UBI? I'm not saying.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, he really hasn't ever been asked much about foreign policy, but if you look at his website, he has over 200 policies on his website, some pertaining to the environment, of course, a lot about UBI. About healthcare, about foreign policy. I've always been an opponent that if America doesn't need to be there, don't fucking have them there. Of course, a lot of times we have other interests as to why we're in some Middle Eastern countries and whatnot. But he's very much an opponent of not just letting America be the superpower as far as military. One, to decrease how much of our budget actually goes to the military, but also to make our alliances with other countries a lot better so that we don't have to go and bail them out every time, per se, so where we don't have to send American lives and send the like American dollar into other places. I really like that. In the case of the to save the environment, just not trying to stop companies from doing things as far as putting smog in or putting pollutants into the air, but just make sure that they know that there's a price to pay for that. So I really am pro not putting bans or restrictions on the people, but make sure they know that there is a price to pay,
right?
After a certain point.
Yeah. So if you were to sum that up as somebody who's going to the polls soon, if you were to do like a quick sale, why should I vote? I know we just went through that long process. Why should I vote for Andrew Yang?
Because
in one sentence, I know we just went through that whole thing.
He's going to put money into your pocket. That's not left. It's not right. It is forward. And that's the direction that the country needs to go in.
Right. Very well. Very well. Put in the words. Right. And when I asked Aaron that question, Aaron's like, well. And then he went into like a whole other summary of Bernie, which I respect. But it's just like, I just want to like sentence.
Yes.
But, well.
All right. Cameron, the only person that we haven't heard, well, we have a bit, but what's your person?
So,
who's your person?
So my presidential candidate for the 2020 election is Tulsi Gabbard.
Nice.
For those of you who don't know, she's a 38-year-old woman. She's very young. She might be the youngest. I know her and Andrew Yang
are
some of the younger presidential candidates. She is a very attractive woman. Yes, I will say that. You guys are making some really weird gestures.
I'm not.
It's don't, okay. Aaron definitely is. With him. She's a Hawaiian native. She, growing up, I'm sorry. This is going to sound a lot different from Aaron and Jesse's candidates. I'm just going to give you what I know on a surface level. Tulsi Gabbard. Because I say that because between each three of our candidates, I would say that each has a very similar outlook and forward thinking as far as UBI, healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that Bernie, Yang, and Gabbard all have that equal view.
Yeah.
Them all being Democrats, obviously, that's bound to happen. The reason why she draws so much attention, she has drawn my attention to her, not only because she's very attractive, she is well spoken, but she's also
very well spoken,
right? And she was, and I believe, still is an active U.S. military admiral. I'm not gonna,
yeah.
I'd hate to put a label on it because I don't know.
She's of a high rank in the U.S. military.
Right, but just like most soldiers, she started out on the front lines.
Mm.
She's been there. She was a medic, I believe, in the U.S. Army. Don't quote me on that. But she was a medic. Her strongest points to me is her foreign policy. She wants to get her troops out of the East, out of everybody's country,
mm-hmm.
bring them back home and rebuild America's infrastructure.
Yeah.
I think that is such a big thing. On top of what you guys have said about your candidates, mm-hmm. it's like it co-aligns with her and what she wants. But like I said, her biggest thing to me is bringing our troops home and not feeding money into the U.S.
military
complex, because that is such... I want to say it was one of our former presidents. I can't dig my mind.
Bush?
No, I don't know. I don't want to say it's Bush, but there's so much money in the war. If you want to get rich, figure out a business that sells weapons or so. And that just seems so ridiculous to me, because that's not forward thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting is not forward thinking.
Yeah, I mean, we need someone that's going to go in there and hash things out with our allies instead of just jumping straight into war.
I mean, and just being very diplomatic with even those that oppose us. I mean, her big thing is she's willing to sit down and mm-hmm. I know this sounds weird or cliche, but sit down and have a conversation with those that are opposing us and sit down at a table and see where they're coming from and be understanding of what our foreign enemies or whoever, what they want. And find some sort of solution without it escalating to you know, deaths, killings, war, whatever it may be. And I know that sounds so huggy mushy.
No, I mean,
sounds so easy to say, but it's just
our world might need a little bit of huggy and mushy.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. Like, people think like, oh, like the news likes to paint Syria as like, you know, is Syria?
Yeah, I believe it's Syria.
Yeah, right. The one, yeah.
It's like, that's where we're currently, where some of our troops are being pulled out of now with Trump, and
yeah.
If that's what you're talking about.
I'm talking about Iran, yeah.
Iran,
okay. Yeah, like, people like, you know, the news likes to paint Iran as, like, you know, these people are, like, they're crazy, and, like, they're friggin', like, gonna come after us, and, like, they're all these, like, weapons, or they might have weapons of mass destruction. First of all, they might have one weapon of mass destruction. We have, like, thousands and thousands and thousands.
Right.
Why would one country want to threaten with one nuclear weapon and want to threaten nuclear war where the country has thousands and thousands of nuclear warheads? It's like Iran has no desires to go to war with the United States, you know.
Right.
That's the last thing. Their only desire is to maintain power in, like, the in their area in Iran.
Right.
The Mullahs just want to keep their own power, and that's it.
Yeah.
And, like, we've, you know, time and time again, we've gone, you know, in places and, like, toppled governments and stuff. And, like, that's what's going on in Iran right now.
Right, like how we arm, I believe we armed Chechnya rebels back in the day, and
yeah,
we've definitely even done that now with U.S. government has been caught on Twitter and Facebook and social media posting ads and posting, like, making up fake accounts, just like Russia did to us with the U.S. presidency race last. During our last race that we had with Trump and those that were there, we've gone. The U.S. government has gone and made posts where they send, I don't know. Let's just hypothetically speak here, because I can't
pull up specific examples.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I can't remember it, but
well, I want to condemn our government and just on, like, you're saying,
right
on a podcast.
Well, maybe I shouldn't.
Nah, condemn the fuck out of them.
No, well, I don't know.
Speak your voice.
It could be Russian propaganda. Who knows?
Well, yeah.
Oh, that's fair.
What website did you get it from?
I mean,
Rogan.
Did it, you guys
Rogan
not?
Yeah.
It must be true.
Right? Right?
I was about to say, did you guys not get that paycheck signed a VP? No?
What's
no.
that?
Well, we're not supposed to bring it up.
Putin? What? No? Yeah. Right? No?
No. Yeah. We're big Putin.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
well,
they pay us not to talk
like
about
they're
right.
paying you guys?
Yeah, this whole time.
Used to get
I've
food.
Been this whole time for months.
I swear you were. I swear you were on the
pay list.
Address list. I swear.
Mother Russia.
We are doing this for Mother Russia.
In restoration now.
Wait, what?
It's from Modern Warfare 2.
Okay.
That's where. In restoration. Granada.
What the
heck? I think we grabbed it up there.
Let go of my titty.
I think we grabbed
this
over here.
I like that one.
I think it's a good place to stop this right here. No, I was saying.
But, well, I believe this is what Joe Rogan. And Jogan.
Jogan.
And Edward Snowden was talking about this. But where we've, I mean, we have, God, I really don't want to say this now because I'm not 100% factual.
Well, I mean, hey, if you don't want to say it, don't say it. But if you're going to say it, fucking say it.
Right. No, now Aaron's got me worried to say it.
All
right.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. But hey, we've all sat here, spoken our mind about each who we would pick. And of course, that's not nearly the end to the list of people that can get it. There's, of course, Biden, if you're into that kind of thing. There's Warren, there's Buttigieg. My both Cameron and mine, is that how you say that? Both Cameron and me would go for someone who has only voted at 2% or less in the nation as a whole. Andrew Yang's at 2.6%. I think Tulsi Gabbard was at like a 1.8 or 2.1.
Right, very unknown.
Yeah. Of course, freaking
Bernie Sanders.
Sanders is like number two, near the top.
Number one.
No, actually, he was pulled. I think he came up as three right now. Number one is Biden. Number two is Warren. Three is Sanders.
I think for the most part, we would be happy. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about Tulsi Gabbard, but with Bernie or Andrew Yang taking the lead.
Honestly, any of our three.
Any I'd fucking be happy. Democratic candidates.
Right? But right. Not Biden.
All except, yes.
That's my personal opinion.
I really don't like Biden anymore. And I'm glad that freaking Kamala Harris
But I have said, I said this on the previous podcast. Yang has explored during internet interviews that both him and Biden have talked about the possibility of Yang being on Biden's ticket, which would be a win for me.
Yeah,
because Biden would be like, "Well, yeah, we'll do that."
Good ideas, buddy. I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
No, like
that's the kind of politician Biden is.
That's it.
Biden
that,
came.
The thing that I hate about Biden, and the thing that I hate about like this idea of Biden. Is that like, oh, he's like Obama's guy, stuff like that.
Yeah, no,
the only
that's
reason why
bullshit.
Obama picked Biden was because he was a centrist and he could work with the Republicans, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right. I just feel like he's doing the same thing, right?
He picked Biden.
Like,
he picked Biden because Wall Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. He picked Biden because Wall Street told him to pick Biden, basically.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's how I see it.
But still, my boy Yang would have some kind of traction. His name would be out there more for 2024.
Right.
That's the position that I was. Not that Yang's going to go in as VP and be able to do all these things. No, that's not the power of the VP unless you're. What's that guy's name?
Unless you're something having to Biden.
Unless you're Dick Cheney.
Yeah, exactly.
Dick Cheney's the only VP that's ever like had some kind of power.
Oh, wow.
Which he had almost complete power. Do you ever watch the movie Vice?
No, I did.
The Christian
see it.
Bale?
Must watch.
It looked great.
It was fucking amazing. It was on Hulu last I checked, but.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so you should definitely.
It didn't go into theaters?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
but like,
it's already out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a really great movie. But that's going to be up for us this week. I hope you guys did enjoy. I hope you guys learned something. And remember, we're not saying at all to go vote for one of our three. We're just giving you guys some information
just
about
go
people
vote.
That we would choose. But just go fucking vote. Yes. So our generation is known as a generation, like I said, at the front. All we do is retweet. We like, we repost. Go out there and actually fucking vote. Make sure that you're making an informed vote and all that good stuff. I think.
Yes, exactly. Just... let your voices be heard. You know, a lot of people like to say like, oh, one boy doesn't count, but you know, all of us together, we're bigger than the millennials, we're bigger than the baby boomers right now.
Yeah.
So and we have the power to create change.
Right.
And if there's one place that your vote actually does matter right now, is in the primaries. That is the one place where every vote counts in your particular state. Yeah.
Especially in California, because we are California. Direct to democracy.
And I think this year is the first year that we're going to be that California is one of the first states to vote.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what's a primary? I'm sorry.
Primary is what they're campaigning for right now. It's where we choose who's going to run.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Democratic candidate.
Oh wow! And that cuts down to one.
Yeah.
Cuts all these people down to one person.
Wow, damn.
Yeah.
And so then we're just voting. Democratic or Republican and possible and then, third party.
Yeah.
But that never happens?
The third party don't get enough traction.
I mean, yeah, third person. Like, I think...
Unless you're Ross Perot.
I think Bernie ended up running as an independent in 2016, right?
No.
You sure?
He went behind
Clinton.
Clinton.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But his supporters did not because, you know...
Yeah, because...
He even said that. He said, you know, he's not, you know, he can't promise his supporters a vote for anybody, but...
Yeah.
He did move Clinton on, you know, education and healthcare. So
okay,
yeah. I just like I said, I feel like change is afoot. I feel like these candidates are all the three that we have pulled together are very
because
good.
The bullshit is out there now. People are realizing
it's for the most part it's going to be a huge breath of fresh air come the November 2020 election. It's going to be crazy, but let's not count out Trump. That's what we did. That's what we did back in 2016.
Yeah,
it's not just
Trump was going against Clinton, and I don't know about you guys, but I would.
Yeah,
I did not want her in office.
The circumstances were definitely different, but we definitely counted.
I think Clinton could be him now. You know, like given what he's done already.
Yeah. Okay, but next week we're not a politics podcast. I do want to say that we've talked a lot about politics, but that's not what we're all about. Next week, I think we have planned, we're going to go to an escape room, come back, talk about that experience, and we'll also have some...
maybe we'll go over some sports or something.
Yeah, sports, sports, entertainment, whatever.
Some movies.
I just wanted to make it clear that we're not a political podcast. We're just talking, we're just two guys talking about whatever's relevant to, to today.
Yes. I think that's a good way to close it out.
Yeah. So without further ado, I'm your host, Jesse Gonzalez. Goodbye and good night.
See ya.
Peace.
Hey, yeah. Fuck is my mouse?
It's right there. It's there.
There. No. Yep.
There it is.